While we hope everybody's having a wonderful Mother's Day listening to us here on the Sports Cubicle with the one and only Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, Dan Marver, and myself, Mike Mercado, you know who hasn't been having a wonderful Mother's Day? Hasn't been having a wonderful week, 10 days? That's the team in the north side, the Chicago Cubs. Marvelous one. You and I are very optimistic. We try to be happy-go-lucky, swell dudes. But the Cubs have not given us a lot of things to be excited about. And we knew this was going to be a trying season. We knew this was going to be a season of a lot of transition, of a lot of confirming and scouting. But actually seeing it play out on the field and how disappointing that has been. Marvelous one, this is a team that isn't scoring runs, that isn't pitching well, that isn't holding games, that isn't competing. And that's what all we wanted. That's all we asked from this team. And towards the end of April, they just couldn't do that. What is the reason for it? Bad roster, horrible weather, or just a little bit of both?
The weather wasn't great, particularly when they played that Sox-Cubs game on Tuesday night. It was not even good football weather. They got swept in those two. Now they're going. Dodgers are going for a sweep with the Sunday night game tonight, which brings me to my rant. Should I do my rant now?
Yeah,
or later?
Let's do it. You know what? Let's get hot and heavy. Let's do this. Go ahead. Okay. The baseball's been bad on the field. I want to hear the hot takes from the one and only, the Marvelous one, Dan Marver.
You're right. Steele is not pitching well, but I mean, their starting pitching isn't any good. And it looks like Stroman's coming around and Hendricks will be okay, but they're not hitting at all. That's the problem. But I was just looking at the schedule. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think MLB needs a map. Listen to this. They played the doubleheader, which they had to play yesterday because the rain on Friday, Dodgers only visit. Now they play the night game for ESPN tonight. Where do they play tomorrow? Petco Park in San Diego, a quick hour and a half drive from Dodger Stadium. On that trip, they do go to Arizona, so I'll give them that. But then they make a separate trip from Milwaukee to Los Angeles, no San Francisco, separate trip from St. Louis to San Francisco. I mean, the MLB needs a map. And I will give them credit. Tampa played six straight games here, and they played the Sox and the Cubs. There are two more interleague opponents that the Cubs will play, namely Boston and Baltimore in Chicago. Neither one has an extended trip to play the Sox. Same thing when the Sox play the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies. No extended trip to play the Cubs. Makes no sense to me. It would seem like an easy fix to have them stay in Chicago and play those games. And to have three West Coast trips seems insane to me, but that's just me. But in terms of their performance in the field, we knew that, and by the way, no, there is no number 9, 17, or 44 in this team, so maybe they'll retire those numbers. But in any event, they have a lot of pitchers. I mean, some of them look okay, but the hitting is what's been hurting them now. The hitting has completely disappeared, you know, and Kershaw said yesterday that it was the wind that helped him. He said he was really off his game. They were making good contact. The two strikeouts he had was the lowest he's had in his career for seven innings or more, by the way, Kershaw in the first game. And they made good contact, and there are a couple balls that might have gone out in another kind of day, but Bellinger was able to pull him down and such. So there was that one second game. I didn't know there was any room between foul territory and the wall, by the way, where it could be a foul ball unless it hit the wall, which it did not. And, I think they should have run out there and done a tennis thing and looked at the mark in the dirt.
Yeah.
The mark in the dirt it was on the line. You know, I don't know if Ross was allowed to run out there and show him the mark in the field, but that would have been telltale. So it wouldn't have mattered in the end. It was a Dodgers sweep. Looking tonight like I would pick the Dodgers again. Then they go to San Diego and Arizona, you know, so it's crazy. The White Sox, you know, were able to beat the Cubs twice. They weren't exactly blowouts, but that Tuesday night game, why they played it, I don't know. Day-night doubleheader on Wednesday would have been the answer. That was awful. It was raining the whole time. It was wind chill, you could see your breath. It was in the 30s. It was insane. But that was good for the Sox. And now in Boston, they seem to have picked up some speed. But that's somebody else's fan base. In any event, that's the way the Cubs are. The Cubs, if they play 500 ball, that would be, you know, an achievement this year. Right? But it ain't going to happen, I don't think.
I really want to break some of that down, Marvelous, while we have a few minutes here on the Sports Cubicle. Let us know what you thought about what the scout had to say over on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. I want to talk a little bit about the scheduling and how this happened. Look, the Cubs aren't a good team. And you and I talked about this when the lockout ended and we were talking about how this roster was going to be put together. Stroman is an interesting piece. While he may be for the future, they can also flip him come July. It's a good contract. He's a good pitcher. Will be an interesting number three or two for a really good team. Wilson Contreras is going to be an awesome catcher or DH for a contender. Kyle Hendricks is going to be on the market. You're hoping that some of that back end of the bullpen can get you some prospects later. That's all you're looking for the Cubs right now. Because that lineup with a Schwindel and a Magical and a Wisdom aren't doing it. Seiya Suzuki has to make now his adjustments to the league. Nico Horner's a nice player, but you can't count on Nico Horner to hit 30 home runs and bring in 100 RBI. And, you know, they don't have a lot of firepower in this offense. And I think the scheduling didn't help this team. But I don't think that's helped anybody in baseball. And this is a big complaint I've had with our one and only Paul Shivari, you know, obviously over on the Baseball Weekend Journal. Make sure you check out that podcast. One of the only podcasts, 52 weeks a year, no matter whether there's baseball in the Caribbean, Korea, doesn't matter. They are doing some awesome stuff over at Baseball Weekend Journal. But this is what I've always talked about. Why are we not playing games in Houston, in LA, in Miami? Why are we not starting the season in warm cities? We're doing it for spring training. We already understand that these games have to be played in warm cities when it's April because baseball just needs to play 162 games. They can't help themselves but be able to just have every last penny they can get from it. So if you're going to do that, you can have games in Cleveland and Chicago and New York in the beginning of April. You know, it's one thing the second week of April, the third week. Yeah, you're taking your chances. Chances are in Chicago, in Cleveland, in Detroit, it's going to be bad. But you're giving yourself some time. Opening days should never be, opening weekend should never be at Wrigley Field. As much as we love it, as much prestigious it is, as much as ESPN would love to go to Fenway and Yankee Stadium, you have to go West Coast if you're going to make those sacrifices. This is not good baseball, Marvelous. This is not good baseball. And we watch a lot of baseball. You know, obviously, Paul and you scout a lot of baseball around all the country. You know, you guys are staying up watching some West Coast games. It's not good product. It's, they're superstars and there's good teams. But when you see some of these cruddy games in the middle of the country, it's not fun. Now we're seeing some sunshine. You know, you see Kershaw go out there dealing for the Dodgers. Okay, starting to feel a little bit like baseball. We're starting to get to the rhythm of things. But that's a horrible way for them to start. Do you think there ever will be the day where baseball wakes up, the owners wake up and understand, all right, the cycle, the NBA does it. Teams go on the West Coast all the time. Stadium sport, I understand that. Football, you can't compare one game a week. Understand all that. But baseball will wake up one day and understand, all right, for the most part, we have to cycle in the South, Southwest, Miami, etc., right?
Well, you know, my point was that it would make more sense for travel to, when a team's in Chicago, to stay there, and when a team's in the West Coast, to finish the other West Coast games. That's one point. The other point is I think there's a policy to not have the Sox and Cubs play at home too often together. So that's why either one or the other seems to open or close. But the warm weather teams would probably argue that now – if we have warm weather games at the beginning of the end of the year, then the cold weather teams are going to have an unfair advantage during the middle of the season when all their games are stacked at home. So, I mean, there could be that argument against it. And they're never going to really have the Cubs and the Sox play at home too often together. So that's going to be one issue. But if you didn't have them open in April or didn't close in October, they'd obviously be stacking a lot of games in July, August, and such. So I guess that could be considered unfair. But the funny thing is we had some decent weather even before the season started in March. It's just that basically April was totally awful in the first week of May. But now it's going to be 90 this week. So I think we've gone straight from winter to summer, like we often do in Chicago. So it's just a risk you take when you play, when you create a schedule. Other than checking Farmer's Almanac and trying to figure out when it's going to be decent weather, which isn't the science either. I think that it's a hit and miss proposition, but other than playing every game in the South and the West, I mean, I don't know if there's enough, stadiums to coordinate that for 15 games. I mean, obviously there's a dome, covered, but the ones that are covered for the most part are already fairly decent weather places like Miami and Houston. I'm trying to think right now, Minnesota's outside now. So, I mean, there isn't anything in the North that's a dome anymore. so you're out of luck pretty much other than Toronto, but you know, so it's something that you could think about, but it looks as though they would have figured it out by now if they were going to make it warm weather at the beginning and the end. But the thing that is puzzling is why the Cubs make three trips to the West Coast and Tampa is the only one of the six teams that plays the Cubs and the Sox in Chicago this year that had an extended trip where they do Chicago back to back. That's all I'm saying.
It's a very interesting It's an interesting tidbit, and it's also really interesting. We're talking about the money aspect of all this, the business, and of why you have to make the schedule. Kids are in school, so you want to be able to spread it out evenly that the entire family can go, and not all your home games are so early when people are still at work and still at school, opposed to everybody having a fair share of it. But speaking of fair share, there's a lot of attention when it comes to rivalries, especially on ESPN, MSNBC, NBC Sports, CBS Sports, all these big corporations that we all know, we all go to get our sports, to fill ourselves in the gluttony that is professional sports. But a rivalry that just hasn't existed in the consciousness, not only nationally, but I would say even locally, is this Cubs-White Sox rivalry. Happened two games in the beginning of a week. Just there wasn't any excitement. Marvelous, what happened to this rivalry? I know one team is struggling but really good. One team is really bad and trying to figure itself out. Both teams have had up and downs. Both teams have climbed the mountaintop. Both teams have had very historic rosters over the last few decades. Why is it, though, that this rivalry just doesn't matter? Is it the placement on the schedule? Is it because we can't enjoy it on 4th of July weekend, Memorial? What is it? Why isn't Cubs Sox more of a thing anymore?
Well, I think it was a novelty at first, you know, when they weren't playing all the time. It was more an exhibition game when they did play. And the days of Pruszynski and Zambrano and Barrett punching each other, I mean, you don't have that element of a beanball affair or fighting or what have you. So there isn't the emotion. So it's just another game now. I mean, obviously, you still have some rumbles in the stands, from what I understand, but. And the years where the Central isn't playing the Central totally, there's two games in each stadium, which is interesting because when the Cubs are playing the Sox on the weekend, but it's going to be Saturday and Sunday. They're going to have Friday off because the way the schedule is, they only play four games against the Cubs Sox in the years where you do not play the Central. And from what I understand, they're going to a schedule next year where I think you play everybody in the other league, if I'm not mistaken. And that is ridiculous. I mean, I kind of like the way it is now where it rotates, but you're going to be losing some of the National League games, Cardinals, Brewers, whatever. And so how are you going to schedule it? The Yankees have to play the Angels and the Athletics. I mean, it's crazy. So from what I'm reading on the 2023 proposed schedule, that's even worse. But in terms of the rivalry itself, I mean, there's some interesting stuff. I mean, the players that have been on both sides, Madrigal. I mean, there's some interesting press on that, but it didn't seem to have the passion. And it might have been because of the placement this year in May, with almost snow-like conditions, you know, which it didn't really have the pizzazz that it might have had a little later in the year. And there's only four games played. That's part of it too. I'd almost rather that they expand on the rivalries, the Indians, Reds. I mean, there are a couple of them that don't make any sense. You know, they have to have Yankees, Mets and such, but there's a couple non-natural rivalries that are part of the protected rivalry, so to speak. You know, I mean, who's Colorado's match? I mean,
right.
Or the Braves. I mean, there's really no logical match for those, but they have to set it up that way so that everybody has, you know, six games or four games every year against a protected rival. But the Cubs Sox, I mean, right now, the Sox are up and the Cubs are down. Maybe that's part of it too, because nothing is expected much of the Cubs. When they both maybe were okay a few years ago, that was another thing. And it was mentioned, and interestingly, and you probably noticed this on NBC today, where they had not had baseball since year 2000. Benetti mentioned it when they introduced the White Sox game against the Red Sox. They had not had baseball for all that time. And now they're going with this Peacock thing every Sunday morning at 10:30 in the morning. I'll be interested to see how it is. Like, I remember Breakfast with Wimbledon, but Breakfast with the Red Sox is a whole new concept to me. And they're going to have a game protected before all the later games in the day now on a Sunday with our own Jason Benetti. And what he's going to do is he's going to have a color man from each side. Today was Euclid and Stone. And I thought that was a quite interesting thing. It reminds me of the old World Series way where they'd have, you know, Gowdy with an announcer from each side. You know, in the World Series, you know, Dick Stockton actually was the announcer for the Red Sox, and he ended up calling the famous fifth home run because he was the Red Sox announcer. But that's an interesting concept, and we'll see how that works. And I really enjoyed the introduction by the great Vin Scully on that, too.
It's a new way for baseball to introduce itself to the mainstream. It's something different that they haven't done in a long time or that they've never done before. And I think it is this new frontier for baseball, the Peacock deal, the Apple deal. I'll say this when it comes to really early games. I've always been a fan of and jealous of San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, that they get to watch Sunday football at 9 a.m. I think there's something magical to watching sports, professional sports, early in the morning. I think there is some kind of cool, yeah. right? Like, right. There is just this cool factor of, yeah. hey, this game is going on at 10 in the morning.
Particularly when all the games are over by 4 p.m. and there's still some time to serve.
Come on, the sunshine, you go have dinner. Like, we love sports here on the Sports Cubicle, right? There's no secret about it. But we also like other things. So the idea of, like, being able to be a little selfish and I can get a lot of my games in and still do this cool little family activity. And you still have, you could go to bed to Sunday night football. Like, there is a cool factor of not everything needs to be 11 p.m. Eastern time. Not everything needs to be 10 p.m. Eastern time. I think that drives away a lot of fans. And we'll get into NBA basketball a little bit because that has to do with the national kind of view of things. Is I think you need to be able to expose your product to people. And people watch your product on all different devices. They don't huddle around the television anymore. So it's okay for the Super Bowl to start as early as it does sometimes. I don't need the World Series first pitch to be at 8:30 Eastern time. Like, people are watching this game But right. Marvelous One, any final thoughts? It was kind of a fun conversation of baseball.
I mean, yeah, it is. And even with NFL, they're going to Germany this year, a couple in England and such. And it's going to be a whole new thing. You're going to have Buck and Aikman on Sunday night. And you're going to have Michaels on Thursday night. It's going to be a whole different feel. Obviously, you're going to have a whole new World Series crew because Buck's not on Fox anymore. Somebody like Davis is going to do it. Davis is probably going to do it. So you're going to have a lot of new voices and on the air this year with the switcheroonies going on. With the football announcers. So that should be interesting too. And the schedules are coming out. We'll see in a week or two what the Bears schedule is and everybody else's. So that should be interesting as well.
We'll be covering that over here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Paul Shavari, Devin Tingle, and myself, Mike Mercado. But more importantly, what do you think about the Chicago Cubs last 2 weeks? What do you think about early morning Sunday baseball? What do you think about the new transition of how we're consuming our sports? We want to hear your thoughts. Let us know on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV.